Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promoting for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
FM 104 Sunday Night Live with Louise Ty.
Dumb's Hit Music Station, FM 104, Louise with you until 1 o'clock. I'm now joined by Sir Steve O'Timothy. Hello, how are you?
Hello, I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me on.
So you sent me in your new single, No Chorus.
Yeah.
So tell me about it.
It's just basically it's the nearest thing I'd get to a heartbreak song.
Yeah.
And I was it was very personal to me, and it was kind of like a song for closing out an old chapter of my life and moving on.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it was tough enough to write, but I just wanted to get it done for myself. It was like my own therapy.
Yeah.
And I was delighted then when it got to number 2 in the Irish iTunes chart, but I was very disappointed because Olivia Rodrigo, with her driving license song,
yes,
got to number 1, and I had to release it on the week that that girl broke all known streaming records.
She broke every possible.
Yeah, so I wasn't going to beat her because, my first single got a number 1, so I was delighted with that, but yeah. I knocked Lady Gaga off the Irish iTunes chart for about 30 seconds.
That's pretty cool.
So I just, I was there to screenshot that my single was number 1. That's all I cared about. So, and it's quite an achievement, to make a song in my room.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And have it go number 1 in the iTunes chart. So that's kind of, that kept me going.
And I suppose with lockdown and everything, most music is being done in bedrooms at the moment, but
yeah,
was your music always done in the bedroom?
Yeah, yeah.
And do you enjoy doing it like that?
Yeah, because you've the privacy, you've no pressure on you.
Yeah, that's
and
so
you're
true.
Not used to doing music as well, and you're not used to singing or rapping in public, which I wouldn't even do to my girlfriend, never mind to some strange sound technician or sound engineer. You know what I mean? You have the freedom to do it here on your own.
Because obviously most people would know you for your sketches, so Farmer Michael.
Yeah, yeah, I'm typecast for life. I'm never getting out of that now.
It's good fun.
Yeah, definitely. Well, look, it's opened up a lot of doors to things I wouldn't have been able to get out there without him. So.
Yeah. Where did he come from, though? Where did you manifest him from?
I always kind of, when I was younger, young little messer in school, you've always done accents and voices and stuff, and I've always done a farmer character and a few other characters. And just one night I was sitting in the air square with my brother, and we were sitting in the car, and I was just bored, and I just said, Ronan, try on your phone there, record me doing a few little skits. So we done them, and they were on my phone for a while, and then I thought one day I'm just going to throw them up on Facebook. And yeah, that was it.
I bet you'd idea what was coming next,
really. Oh god no. Not in the wildest imagination. Because I was always told it'll never take off. And then I was told it'll only be a Western Ireland thing. No one will see it outside Galway or whatever. And then I was told a distinctly Irish thing. No one will care. And then now my biggest group of followers are the UK and the US. So it was just kind of surpassed. I didn't have any goals for it.
Yeah.
I just thought it'd be a bit of crack and a bit of fun, you know. So
you tend to be kind of controversial, or he tends to be quite controversial. Was that the plan from the beginning, or?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Absolutely. The character is meant to be a horrible human being.
Okay.
He's every ick you could possibly be. He's homophobic. You know, he's just a horrible human being. But, obviously, the straight man role of Kathleen corrects that.
Mm-hmm.
And Michael, obviously, some of them are just toilet humour, obviously, but in some of them, he uses, I'd use satire to get the very poignant message across, or a very you know, moralistic standpoint.
Yeah, to tackle like these topics.
I could have always went down the safe route, and I'd probably have more followers, and I'd probably be more accepted, if that's the right word. But like, if you have a platform, I believe it's a moral imperative on you to use it to, like, you know, I don't know anyone that makes comedy videos in Ireland that have tackled race head on, gay rights, women's rights, abortion. They run from it.
Yeah.
So it's always pints and GA or, you know, very kind of things like that. And I was like, nah. Sorry, Chris.
That's okay. it comes along with Farmer Michael, to be fair, I think, doesn't it?
Yeah. Once you get into that mindset, when you're talking about him, even like you start to swear subconsciously,
uncontrollably.
Yeah.
And you moved into stand up as well.
Yeah, it kind of accidentally happened. I was invited down to some stand up show for charity. I forget where it was now, but it was in the country, someplace in Galway, and my friend who would later become my support, Johnny Graham, he basically said, you're doing the bit. And I was like, no. And he goes, you're doing the bit because I'm going announcing you. So I went out on the stage and I'd done a bit. And my God, like, my panic was at a level I hadn't experienced in a long time. But I managed to do it. And then we kind of said, you know, people were messaging the page going, would you do this live?
Mm.
I was like, absolutely not. Get away from me. But yeah, it ended up kind of, you know, it ended up within a year we were in Vicar Street, and it was like,
wow. Because Vicar Street's amazing. It's such a great
and then
venue.
Then we were selling out like five shows in a row in like St. George's Hall in Liverpool, and doing double shows in London, Manchester, Nottingham. Like, it's just kind of insane. Like,
did it get easier?
No, I'd still say the level of panic is always the same before a gig.
But I think a little bit of that is good, though, isn't it? It's like adrenaline or something.
Oh, yeah, a little nervousness. Nervousness is a good thing.
Yeah.
Panic is not a good thing.
Well, that that's
you literally
true.
Think you're going to die, and you're contemplating ringing 999 while you're sitting in the car and all the rest of them are up in the green room. That's when it becomes an issue.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
That's not
but
good.
Once you're on stage in 10 seconds, that kind of goes. And once the show is finished and, you know, you make them laugh and you're meeting them afterwards, and it's kind of, you relax then.
Yeah.
But then you could have a show the next night and you're telling yourself, Stephen, you've always done it.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing ever went bad, but your brain doesn't accept that.
And you've spoken about your anxiety quite a bit, and we've heard quite a bit about it in the past week. And so is it important for you to discuss it and kind of bring it, like, kind of tell people, look, it happens to me too?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Like, if you can normalize something, it's not as bad. And it if someone sees me and thinks, like, a lot of people don't really know the person behind the character. They just see the character and they go, and even if they find out, they go like, but you always come across so confidently. And I'm like, do I? Well, if I do, it's 20 odd years of masterfully hiding it. You know, you learn these techniques. Like, it's such a weird thing to have to say that, like, most of my life, and especially when I was in college, like, you'd be sitting there talking to someone, they'd be talking about the weather, and the only thing I'd be thinking of is trying to ring an ambulance without creating a scene, that I'm literally going to die. And it's really hard to explain to someone what that feeling is like if you've never suffered it.
Yeah.
To be trying to control your breathing and to try and say, oh yes, it is a lovely day. And this is these mundane, nonsensical conversations while you're literally dying inside.
While your brain is thinking something completely different altogether.
Yeah. And you're trying to use every bit of brain power to retain composure and not lose it.
Yeah, so it is important to talk about it and to put it out as normal that you aren't going, you know, there is ways back from this, you know.
Yeah, because when I was diagnosed first, it was a weird kind of, it was an unheard of thing. It was just like, even my doctor said to me, just go down to the gym a bit more, or, you know, do something like that. It was never, you know, the gym will get rid of it. And people still say that today. Oh, if you're feeling a bit down, go to the gym, or depression. You're like, yeah, if you're feeling down, if you're manic depressive, the gym's not going to help you one bit.
Yeah.
You know, it's just as simple as that. Like,
you need to take it a bit
further.
I don't
like when people say those things.
Yeah.
That makes you feel better.
Yeah.
That's from your own personal perspective. You mightn't suffer from what me or other people suffer from. You might just get low mood.
Mm.
So you go to the gym, you know, it props you up, but it's not going to work for everyone.
Yeah, it kind of simplifies the whole situation.
Yeah, and
really.
It's just,
yeah.
And what if a person starts doing that and doesn't start to feel better?
Mm-hmm.
And they'll feel guilt then and blame themselves for not feeling better. I should be feeling better because this fella on Instagram is telling me feel better, that I should. So there's something else wrong with me, and more worry, more anxiety, more depression.
And you're going to be shaving your head in March.
I am. On Paddy's Day, I'm going shaving my beautiful crop of hair off, and I'm kind of like, I'm too deep into it now to go back. So
you're going to be shaving
the only
off
way
your
I could ever think about going back is to, on the day, whatever I've raised, it'd be to double it myself and keep my hair.
Okay. Would you do that?
But no, because I can't afford it. I haven't gigged since March the 6th, so that's out of the question. So
so your hair is gone. So that's it.
Yeah.
You have to accept it now.
I just want to say as well a quick, just about the music. Like, obviously, it's a kind of a hobby of mine, but I enjoy it. Anytime I ever make music, all the proceeds, and not profits, all proceeds are always donated to charity as well. So.
Oh, wow. That's really good.
Oh, well, it's just something nice to do, isn't it? And I pick a charity kind of related to the topic of the song as well.
Yeah.
So the next one is about the church, and I'm going to donate the money to One in Four.
Okay.
It's the abuse charity in Ireland.
And when will you release new music? Like, have you kind of set a date for it?
I don't really set a date, but I'd like it to be out in April sometime.
Okay.
I haven't written, just haven't recorded, haven't a video shot yet or anything. So.
Yeah.
It's hard to get an 8-year-old kid that's going to mime my lyrics while shouting at a priest in a confessional box. But we'll find one.
Oh, jabbers. Who knows what that's going to be like?
Well, it's not really... It's just a kind of takedown of the denials and the cover-ups.
Yeah, yeah.
Basically.
Okay, well, I look forward to seeing that and hearing that.
Thank you so much.
And also, I heard very briefly that you're going to be writing an autobiography.
Yeah, we were thinking about it for a while, and I was kind of always on about it. I remember even years ago before I started all this, I was thinking, I wrote some bits down, but I lost that years ago. I had 2 or 3 chapters done of a kind of an autobiography or just memoir notes or something. But I suppose it became more of a taste for it after, I suppose, I was on the Late Late Show and people actually heard my story for the first time, because that was a thing I had hidden most of my life. I tried to hide my injury at the beginning as well. I used to take the crutches out of the videos and stuff. I was so self-conscious of having an injury or people seeing my like skinny legs, and it was such a thing. I hated being seen in the wheelchair and stuff like that. It was denial, I suppose.
Yeah.
But and I hid the whole the crash as well, and the horrible things that happened with that. So I suppose, after the Late Late Show and the positive feedback, and people were saying I was genuinely helping them and stuff, I don't know whether that's true or not, but there was calls for like me to write a book. So I was talking to my publisher, and we had a Zoom call and kind of got it off the ground, and we're just in the early planning stages yet. But it would be a good thing to do, and it would be a good thing to do for me personally as well. Just,
I was about to say, it'd be nice to kind of get it all out into word.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
And I suppose people will know where to find all your videos and that, but how can they follow you on social media?
Sir Steve O'Timothy Official on most things.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Or just Google and I'll pop up somewhere annoyingly screaming at you.
From all those bits you're doing, so documentaries and sketches and stand-up and music, you're covering everything at the moment.
I'm trying, yeah. I suppose it's been a mad week, like, with the documentary and TG Carr and the Late Late Show, and just the feedback and the amount of emails and messages I've got. It's been overwhelming, really, like, and in a positive way.
Yeah, which is good.
You always get a bit of hate, but it was outweighed 1,000 to 1, you know, so.
Amazing, amazing. Thank you so much, because I know you're busy. Thank you for taking the time to chat to me.
Thank you. I appreciate it a lot.
Not at all. Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
And if you're listening and you'd like to speak to somebody, you can text hello to 50808 or the Samaritans on 116123. It's Sunday Night Live on FM 104.
FM 104, Sunday Night Live with Louise Tai.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.